was having myself such a wonderful time as we were reflecting on who Jesus is and what he's done in his kingdom. Who here will be glad to see Jesus one day? Amen. I hope that's your prayer. Of all the people you could see, I certainly want to see my dad in glory. I want to see my big sister in glory, but to see Jesus Christ and to tell him thank you. So scripture says, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad. And, you know, it's something about recognizing what someone has done for you. If you have a loved one that maybe makes your favorite meal, if you have a loved one that stood up for you when you were a kid, maybe in a fist fight and they took lumps for you. If you have somebody that you know, maybe a grandparent, mom or dad sacrificed for you, you have a sense of gratitude. And the story of the scriptures, it's a story about God's great love for us. Man who he made in his image, who sinned against him. This is what our great, 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 go all the way back grandparents, Adam and Eve did. Sin became a part of the human condition. And with that sin, death. People live and die. People sin against God and against each other. There's evil in the world. That's a spiritual reality. For all you skeptics out there, maybe online, there's a presence of evil in the world. That's bad news. The good news is every good gift comes from God. And the best gift this world could ever have or ever will have is in the person of Jesus Christ. Please hear me. If you don't remember anything about Charles, you're like, what was that man talking? Oh, he was talking about Jesus. The old hymn says, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. I got a lot of friends, but I have no friend like Jesus Christ. I'm testifying right now. God is good. So when we sing that song, when we all get to heaven, that's a joyful place. Because in that land, there's no more sin. I will be free from the bondage of sin. I'll enter into eternal life. And if that's your testimony, you will see your Savior and you will worship him forever. In that fair and bright land, there's no sorrow, no sadness, no dying. We'll have some new bodies in heaven. We'll be able to worship freely, and we will see our God and our Creator for who he is. That's the good news. If you read Revelation, we see a turning of a new creation, old things passing away, new heavens, new earths. And for any of you who are into science and looking at the stars, you can see that there was a start of the galaxy. People in secular world call it the Big Bang, but those who believe the Bible call that creation. When God said, let there be light. So just as there was a start to all of this, this train is headed towards a conclusion. And as with the good news, there's also some sobering news that that song, when we all get to heaven, may not be for everybody. Can I keep it 100 with you? Because there's some people, that's what young folks say, keep it 100. That's their way of saying, just tell it as it is. There's going to be some people that are hearing some hard words. Depart from me, I know you not. So, you have an option to hear the word of God today. You're going to hear about what Jesus has to say on this final judgment, and not just hear about him, I hope you have a conversation with him for yourself. There's good news. Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. I lay down my life for my sheep. So if you don't have anybody, guess what? You do have somebody who is willing to make a sacrifice. Are you glad about it today? Yes. I sure hope you are. I know that if I were to ask, I know there are a number of men and women who've served in law enforcement and served in military and to hear stories of sacrifice. And if you ever wanted to look at the National Medal of, the Medal of Honor winners, I may be misspeaking it, so please forgive me. It'll share their stories of sacrifice. And it's pretty amazing if you go on that website. When we read about Jesus Christ, what he said, what he did, what he taught, what he exemplified, the best and the brightest, fully man but fully God. Worship is an opportunity to acknowledge what he said, what he did, and who he is. I hope you hear me today. With that, let's pray. Spirit of the living God, we thank you for this moment, this time. Your Spirit convicts men of sin and righteousness. Even now, I pray that you be working on the hearts and minds of all here so that the name of Jesus Christ may be lifted up. Thank you for this time as we walk through principles from the parables, and may these words go beyond my words. May your word, like seed, fall on hearts that are open and soft before you, that good ground would be the state of our hearts here, so that fruit unto righteousness would grow. And maybe today, for someone who has never yielded and surrendered their life to Jesus Christ, whether here or online, would hear from you unmistakably and say yes. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me in Matthew chapter 25. And 41 to 46. Those of you who are tuning in online, we'll post it there. And, you know, if you can, it's great to have your Bible throughout the week. You might even make notes. Sometimes people have their Bible on a phone. However you get to it, go for it. And so as you're turning there, just by way of reminder, parables were one of the tools that Jesus used when he would teach. He would use basic real-life examples to describe a spiritual reality. He would use things that the audience, the hearers in ancient Israel, they could relate to. They were farmers. It was an agricultural society. So he would describe things naturally, and they were depicting something spiritual. Now, parables had this twofold thing happening. For the heart that was open to receive from God, they would see the example and hear it and be able to really take it in. But for the one that was resistive to the truth from God, resistant to Christ, they would hear it and it would kind of go right over their head. Sound effect there. Like that. Good sound effect. It was like, so it would just go past them. I don't know what that was. A good sound effect. There you go. That's powerful right there. Well, anyway, the point of the matter is this, is that sometimes the audience would hear it and just not get it. And that was a bit of a judgment. It was kind of like if you've seen the old Charlie Brown cartoons that when the adults were talking, you'd hear wah, 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 wah. It just wouldn't hit. And we can relate to this in life. If you could have 2, 3, 4 kids and you could all tell them the same thing and get different responses. Okay, mom, okay, dad. Other one's like, I don't know. What do you mean? What do you mean? And you have to explain it all different ways. And it's not that what you said was unclear. It's the condition of that person's heart. And let's not give the little kids a hard time. Let's go to grown-ups. Two people can go to church. Can people outside hear someone sharing the gospel, and one person's listening, like, you know, I think I need to rethink this thing about Jesus Christ. I've been hearing it all my life, but I'm seeing things in me that don't line up with what God is saying. I need Christ for my own forgiveness, but also for him to lead my life, because I'm not doing too good on my own. That's one response. The other one is like, I don't know about that Christianity thing. And you know, those churches, they're all this, they're all that, they're all hypocrites. Blah, blah. And they have a long list of excuses, but never come to grips with their own soul. I had a dollar for every hour spent on conversations on this side, where the person will come up with their laundry list of their, I don't like this, I don't like that, but causing havoc in the lives of people. I'm like, wow, you're very religious. Well, what do you mean by that, Charles? They're like, you actually got sets of laws that you want others to abide by while simultaneously rejecting the law of God in your life. Some of the most, I'm grateful for that occupation. Some of the most difficult people to deal with are some of the most lawless folks while simultaneously imposing their standards on others. And when you say, well, where do you get these ideas? I haven't got to the text yet. I'm going to get there. Hang in there. Where do you get these things from? Well, and they'll come up with all their philosophies. But if you run a line all the way back to it, know where it comes from? They want to be God. Ask me how I know this. Been there, done that, got the T-shirt. But being God over your life, there's some consequences to that. I'm glad God is God. And boy, thank you, Jesus, for mercy. I am here and alive because the Lord knocked me off my throne. And so today, we're talking about the sheep and the goats. Let's hear the word of Jesus, Matthew 25, 31 to 46. God help me. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put on the he will put the sheep on his right, and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you are blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? The king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they themselves also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not take care of you? Then he will answer them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. God's word. Amen. Let that sink in for a moment. Heaven is a wonderful, glorious, beautiful picture of an eternal state in paradise with God himself. And it should be the goal of every human being to experience that forever. And that picture of the kingdom of heaven is a glorious goal. And in this conversation about the sheep and the goats, that is presented. while simultaneously the horrible state eternally of those who are found outside of the kingdom of Jesus Christ, hell is presented too. This is not a very popular thing to talk about. I'm grateful to be here. No one's hit me with eggs yet, or tomatoes, or anything like that. But may I say plainly that the Bible preaches wonderfully about heaven and gives serious warnings about hell. I would be a horrible preacher if I don't talk about both today. I want to encourage you to press on to be with Jesus Christ. Let his nature be within you so that the good works that we're going to talk about will be happening as he transforms your life, because he is yours and you're his. So that song, when we all get to heaven, will be a truth that's in your life. But I'm also here to warn some that if your state and condition is without Jesus Christ, then this is your destination. You will get what you deserve. And that's a horrible place to be. So Jesus, in this parable in Matthew, and if you've been with us, Matthew, who was a tax collector, was Jewish. He was a Jew. He was of the Hebrew nation. And much of this book is showing Jesus as the long-awaited king and Messiah. Not Caesar, not Pilate, not any earthly ruler, but he indeed is the long-awaited Messiah, the king. And in a political age, it's so important to recognize who really is in charge. Side note, keep that in mind. So Jesus is using parables, and even as he's teaching, the last three parables in this 25th chapter, the parable of the virgins you see, the 10 virgins, if you want to read back on your own, and the parable of the 10 talents, he's describing his kingdom. And earlier in chapter 24, the disciples ask him, what will the end of the age be like? They go to their master and teacher and say, hey, we want to know, what will the end be like? And in his sermons, he's describing to them, sometimes specifically, sometimes metaphorically, this is what the end of the age is going to be like. Now, in this parable, he presents two groups, two natures, and two kingdoms. Everybody hold up two. Only God has the complete insight, wisdom, and knowledge to know the state of every human heart. That's powerful. So when Jesus talks about the parable of the soils and he looks out over peoples, he actually knows what's going on in the hearts of the people then, and he knows what's going on in the hearts of the people now. It can be a great encouragement, but that could also be one that humbles us, because he knows each and every one of us. It could be a mixture of encouragement. My Father knows my fears, my worries, my doubts, my hopes, and he loves me still. And at the same time, my Father knows everything about me. If you've been with CBC Bible, are y'all okay this morning? Y'all all right? My father grew up in Albany, Georgia. Love him dearly, and I pray one day in Jesus' name to see him in glory. But he was old school, and he believed in corporal punishment. So after he corrected me and talked to me, Junior, did you hear what your mother said? Okay, go outside and get me a switch. Oh, Lord of mercy. The long walk. Break it off. Bring it back. Son, didn't your mother tell you? And then all of a sudden, the beating commenced. I don't believe I was abused or anything like that, but he was trying to correlate that there's consequences to actions. Now, Jesus describes two groups, two natures, two kingdoms. Let's talk first and foremost when Jesus, who comes, he's sitting in judgment mode as the Son of Man in his glory with his angels on the throne. And if you read the book of Daniel, the Son of Man is a title that's a messianic title, if you will. Because in that part of the Bible, Daniel receives this prophecy that, yeah, there's one on the throne in charge, the Son of Man, and Jesus is equating himself with that same one. So those who may think, well, Jesus never said he's God, well, here's one reference right here. So he's saying, this is how I will show up, and the oversight of the nations is in his hands. So much so that he can actually divide some being sheep and some being goats. A little bit. This is the great divide. Now, human distinctions, you know, wealthy, different ethnicities, different countries, nationalities, genders, all these man-made distinctions all fade away at the judgment of the Lord. What will be most important on that day and a billion years from now is whether you are in Christ and his kingdom or not. Can I just make it simple and plain? Either this is true or it's not. And so the Creator, God the Son, takes his stand over the nations. So the extent of his rule is not just in Jerusalem and over the Israelites, but over the whole world. As kids, we used to sing, he's got the whole world in his hands. He really does. And so at this place, he divides them, and he speaks to one on the left and one on the right, goats and sheep. Now, many theologians and scholars debate as to some aspects of this, as we're going to get into in a moment. Who were the least of these? Was he speaking about doing good works only to the Jewish people? And others say, doing good works to all people who find themselves in trouble. I would tend to be at that latter, but that's a separate subject all by itself. But then he describes two natures, sheep and goats. Now, both animals are not the smartest in the world, okay? And please don't point up here. But both are herded type of animals, sheep and goats. And we'll try not to truck our modern-day understanding of sheep, because we tend to think maybe negatively today as a sheep that follows blindly. But how it's used in this context is in a favorable way. Jesus was called the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He's called the Lamb because of what he did sacrificially. Sheep were used in the temple for sacrifice. And Jesus called himself the good shepherd who gives his life for his sheep. And so he begins with commending those who are found in this nature of being a sheep. And if you're here for the first time, and or maybe Christianity is something you're exploring, Jesus Christ often used these kinds of references. He talked about giving his life. And the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you or thirsty and give you something to drink? And he says, when you've done it to the least of these, my brothers, you've done it unto me. The sheep are seen to have responded to the needs of others in a manner that was akin to their nature. Bear with me. Ephesians chapter 2, it says, for by grace you are saved through faith. It is not of yourself, it's a gift, lest anyone should boast. But then around the 10th verse, it says that we are created for good works in Christ Jesus, which he prepared for us to do. And so these actions of the sheep are coming out of their nature in Christ. Let me say it to you this way. Jesus said, you will know a tree by the fruit it bears. And so when Christ comes inside of one of his persons, the good result should be the fruit of righteousness. I'm mixing metaphors here. Now, if I'm walking through the hills in Santa Clarita and I come across a rattlesnake and I step on it, what's he going to do? He's going to bite me, right? That's the natural response of that snake. Now, what we're looking at in sheep here, and I'm jumping back and forth between metaphors, is that God's people, if Christ is alive in you, then doing good to other people ought to show up as a fruit. Hang with me for a moment. The Apostle John says, how do you say you love God who you don't see when you don't love your brother who you do see? And I want to testify positively, being around people who genuinely have Christ is one of the most wonderful things to experience. I'm grateful for CBC because I can say I've experienced this here. Not just up here preaching, but people have prayed for me and prayed for my family and we had a good time together. And there's a sense of joy and there's a natural flow to it that's coming out of a nature that's been touched by Jesus Christ. I got new family here, new brothers and sisters that I see, and I feel it like, you know, it's like, yeah, I'm on the sheep's team over here. And it feels wonderful. Not contrived, not put on, but supernatural. Out of a nature that's been changed and is being changed. So Jesus commends them, and he says, when you did those things, guess what? You did it to me. By the way, Jesus takes these things personally. He takes these things personally. That's kind of deep when you think about it. And they're surprised. They're like, Jesus, we didn't see you. Where did we see you? He's like, when you did it, you actually were doing that to me. Every human being is made in the image of God. Everyone. I love my kids, and I look at them, and they do some things. I'm like, ooh, that looks just like me. But I love them just the same. And when someone treats my children well, I appreciate it. Like, thank you. One of my boys was in the hospital, and they're not boys, grown men now, and I know some nurses in different places. And they say, hey, Charles, just to let you know, I was looking out for your son. And I give him a big hug. Thank you. Thank you. So, it's out of a nature. The goats, on the other hand, what's in it for me? This is kind of hard. I've said this example, and I'll say it again. I went somewhere, and I was doing a training and teaching, and I had my sweater on backwards. Not this one, but another one. And it was funny. I don't mind you laughing. It was funny, right? It was on backwards, right? That's okay, Denise. I don't mind. I laugh at it now myself. And true story. And one of my coworkers said, hey, Charles, your sweater's on backwards. And I looked. I said, sure enough, it was on backwards. I put it on in the dark. I showed up for the training. And thanks be to God, it didn't start yet, so I ran outside. I got somewhere, switched it around, and I was ready to go. I could see it. I told the group. I said, I could see everybody in this room but myself. Sin is selfish. Sin is self-centered. Sin is anti-Christ. Because sin wants to rule and reign on the throne of life and not Jesus. So for all my goat brothers and sisters in here, do you see yourself? Do you recognize what you do in the life of other people? Because oftentimes, sin is the blinder. I'm a good person. Would your spouse say that? Would your parents say that? Keep looking forward. If you're in here, keep looking forward. The goats. Jesus said, hey, when I was here, you didn't care about me. Who did you care about? Oh, this is hard. You cared about yourself. So, salvation is not by works. We need a new nature. If you read John chapter 3, and I know I'm pulling on another verse here, a man by Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, and Jesus told him plainly, you must be born again. But in those verses, he said these wonderful words, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but through him he might be saved. That's good news. If you don't believe me, talk to him about it. That's good news. The challenge is this. Jesus says, this is the condemnation. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness more than light. So, back to the scriptures. Two groups, two natures, which represent two kingdoms. And Jesus, in his authority, pronounces a stern judgment on the goats. Depart from me. I don't know you. May that not be for anyone here under the sound of my voice or online. You've been warned. Instead, may it be that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God, my Father. I'm one of his sheep. I'm limping along, but I'm one of them. He's working with me. I go astray from time to time, but I'm one of them. And he is changing my life, and I'm encouraging others to do the same. The fact of the matter is, the evidence of your relationship to God will be demonstrated by how you treat others. Faith, being of itself without works, is dead. We live in a society that is very spiritual. But when it comes down to the treatment of your fellow man or even those closest to you, it's sorely lacking. The good news is Jesus Christ has come for us all. His hidden presence, his personal affection, even though we may not see him visually today, how we treat each other can be an expression of our love to him. Even when it's our enemy. Talk about a powerful witness. Can you love people that don't love you? Can you treat well people who don't treat you well? That's the way of the cross. It feels like I'm dying. Oh, didn't he say, if anyone will follow me, take up your cross and die? To sit with, eat with, listen to, try to reach and express care to someone who does not care about you. Didn't Jesus do that? I'm glad he did that. I'm so glad he did that. I'm so glad Jesus did not give up on Charles. I'm so glad that the God that I serve cares about people whether they care about him or not. I'm so glad to God that I serve that whether you have a lot or a little are welcome to be with him. I had a conversation this week that blew my mind. It was a gentleman that was a developmentally disabled. We might say mentally retarded back in the day. We don't say that now because PC, political, all that. But to hear this young man say some of the most wonderful things about, he was coping with his mother passing and he reads his Bible. He said, you know, Charles, I know I'll see my mother one day. I miss her so much now. But you know what, Charles? She doesn't have any more pain. So it's okay, Charles. She's in heaven and I'm going to do my best to serve God now. And I'm listening to this man say these things. And he's about 21 years old And it was, this was just brilliant. And I said to myself, may I have that kind of character? May I grow to be like this, because this young man was representing Jesus with the little that he had. Thanks be to God for my training and seminary and all of that. But what I learned from that young man right there is that having the real Jesus will make a real difference in your life. Give God praise. And we laughed, we had a good time, he had jokes, and I'm listening to him, I'm just marveling at this. And all of a sudden, it was like, you know, this session is not for him, this session is for me. He was one of God's sheep. Well, I want to share some principles and then I'm going to sit down, at least for a little bit. The first, all people are accountable to God. That's the truth. That could be a stern warning or an encouragement that there is a day where rewards will happen. If you're a believer in Christ, that day could be a wonderful day of rewards. 1 Corinthians talks about it, a celebration, almost like the victory stand. But for those who reject Christ, that final judgment is real. Don't let that be for you. All people are accountable to God, no matter who they are, where they come from. You have been warned. Which leads to my next. Love for God is demonstrated by how you love others. The proof is in the pudding. CBC, there's wonderful things happening here. There's wonderful things to be growing and rooted in Christ and let his nature change and cause you and I to grow and have fruit that demonstrates the reality of God. And watch this. Those two kingdoms, mixing metaphors here, but this kingdom of light then begins to take hold of wherever we are, in our homes, at our jobs, in our neighborhoods, with people we interact with, in our relationships. You can go to different places in the world, different neighborhoods, you could actually feel the spirit of a place. You know, let the light of Jesus shine right here and emanate all around. Amen? Amen? And the last principle, which really is the first, Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And I pray you be one of his sheep. If you haven't made that decision, if you haven't placed your faith in Jesus Christ, you have a loving God that's reaching out to you today. Maybe you have felt in your spirit a tug or a pull, settle accounts right now. As the worship team comes back up, I'm just going to take a moment to pray, and maybe you might be the one today to give your life to Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. There is going to be a great day of rejoicing, and I pray that that glorious view with where your son Jesus Christ receives glory and honor and you receive glory and honor and the triune God that you are worshiped eternally. Prepare hearts and minds for that great day. Some today, maybe to life, and others to press on toward you. We give you thanks in the name of Jesus Christ. And God's people said amen. God bless you.